And if the soil's dead, there is no micro anything. There is no life.
Freedom of the press is only guaranteed when you own the press.
It's time to hear the other side of the news.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message. Wake up. Every station is a gentrification. Global syndication is the shaping of the nation. But do we even know who plants the seeds? You think the media works for you, but it's a job for them. They're just selling fruit.
The other side of the news.
Ignorance grows on the spirit like a tumor. Till freedom is a rumor.
And I found this comment that was quite relevant on the www.rain.org website. It's from an article called Let's Get Growing. The question was, why do organic growers disapprove of chemical fertilizers? The answer you'll hear repeated in today's show, but I'm going to quickly read you this response. Chemical fertilizers are quick-acting, short-term plant boosters, and are responsible for deterioration of soil, creating hardpan soil, destruction of beneficial soil life, that's the microbiomes we're talking about, and earthworms, along with altering vitamin and protein content of certain crops. They make certain other crops more vulnerable to disease and prevent plants from absorbing much-needed minerals. The soil must be regarded as a living organism, and that's an important point. An acid fertilizer, because of its acid, dissolves the cementing material made up of the dead bodies of soil organisms, which hold the rock particles together in the form of soil crumbs. This compact surface layer of rock particles encourages rainwater to run off rather than to enter the soil. For an example, a highly soluble fertilizer such as 5-10-5 goes into solution in the soil water rapidly so that much of it may be leached away into our groundwater without benefiting the plant at all. This chemical causes the soil to assume a cement-like hardness. When present in large concentrations, they interact with the clay to form impervious layers of precipitates called hardpan. Fertilizers also contain sulfuric and hydrochloric acid, which increases the acidity of the soil. This changes the soil's pH value. You change the soil's pH value, you kill organisms which live in that soil. For this reason, the artificial fertilizer people tell their customers to increase the organic matter content of their soil, trying to offset the effects of the acids. Earthworms are our best soil activator. Their numerous borings make the soil more porous, and the plants feed off of what the earthworm leaves behind. Everything on earth is a living organism. When we go to the grocery store and we buy things wrapped in plastic made from oil, shipped in trucks thousands of miles from corporately owned huge crop farms, we end up robbing our body of the nutrients and the minerals that we really need. In light of the recent spinach scare, which killed 1 in 105 people ill to date, it pays to pay attention. We are all, as James Howard Kunstler pointed out, going to have to slow down and localize if we are to survive in the future generations. The past 60 years has been an artificial lifestyle forced upon society by those who run the agenda, the major corporations. So basically, we are what we eat and drink. Last Saturday, we attended the Hamilton Eat Local Project. Lots of local fruit and vegetables and delicious food to eat. It was quite successful. It was organized by a bunch of young people. Some of them work right here at CFMU. Our Matt Thompson that does H on Air Monday mornings at 9 a.m. was a big part of that activity and getting that up and running. These are young people that are just starting out with their careers, but they have a lot on the ball. Julie Fleming and Cynthia McQueen, Molly McDonald, just to name a few. And for any of those, I've admitted my apologies. And I was very fortunate when I got there because I had a chance to actually interview a member of the Canadian Organic Growers Association who gave me tons of information about why we shouldn't buy from the supermarket and from corporate farms. And I also had a bit of a chance to talk to the very busy Rodrigo from Plan B Farms. This fellow is a wealth of knowledge if you can get him to stand still for 5 minutes. Today's O-Side Review is Eat Locally and Why You Should.
Katrina Simmons, and I'm associated with Canadian Organic Growers because right now I'm the representative for this chapter to the national board.
Canadian Organic Growers is an organization that started out about 30 years ago. It connects farmers and urban dwellers. If they want, urban people want to know about organics, they want to know why they should support organic farming, why they should buy organics, where they can buy it. They can find out their information through Canadian Organic Growers. focuses on both urban and rural issues. So if you're interested in backyard gardening, it can give you information on that, or markets, or any kind of organic products. When you join Canadian Organic Growers, you get a magazine quarterly. Also, one of the biggest assets of membership is our library. We have a library in Ottawa that has a whole bunch of these books, hundreds of books that are focused on organic growing, both rural and urban. You can order the books if you're a member for a month. They ship them to you for free. You ship them back for free. It's an excellent resource. It's a chapter-based organization, so there's chapters across the country. There's definitely a chapter in Hamilton at this point. We need lots more interested people to get activity going. We connect with like-minded organizations. That's why we're at this Eat Local event. We also act as an information source for the Eat Local groups that have started up. Lots of energy there, and we have the information, so it's a good partnership. We have farms that are very close to the city, small farms particularly. We encourage people to join CSAs, to buy their organic produce from local markets. We really like that urban-rural support local farmers link. Most of the farmers who have CSAs and local farms will let you come out and do tours different times a year, so you get to see how they do things on the farm. There's actually an organic flower farm now in this area that partners with Plan B, which Plan B partners with a whole bunch of other organic farms in the area so that they can offer a wide variety of vegetables in their box.
So how could a city dweller start doing farming in their own property, or how could they get, try and get a city person interested in either finding out more about it or why it's important?
Especially for urban residents right now, it's really important to learn about organic, both lawn, garden, and if you're growing vegetable gardens, because pretty soon a lot of communities will have no pesticide bylaws, and if you don't know how to do that, you're going to have some problems with your garden. It helps to improve the soil, which improves the whole ecosystem in your yard. So even if it's just flower gardens that you have, it's still very important to take care of the soil. That's where everything starts, and there's a great ecosystem in the soil, hundreds of thousands of small microorganisms that feed the insects and birds, and in turn the ecosystem that you see above ground. So if we don't take care of the soil, then we're also neglecting the rest of the ecosystem.
Including water, right?
Including water and air, that's right. So soil, water, air are very important elements that we need to take care of. If you want to support a farmer, if you want to buy local produce instead of growing your own, we have a number of the community-supported agriculture farms. They're organic. They give you a share box once a week. You help them out by investing right up front in the beginning of the season. They, in turn, don't have to borrow the money for seed and for amendments for the soil. And every week you get a box of organic produce that they have picked fresh, probably the day that you get it. And they deliver it to a depot, or if you want to be a depot, you get it delivered right to your house. And you pick it up every week, usually right through the season. From June is usually when you get the first greens, salad greens, right through until October when you get a wonderful abundance of fall produce. If you want more information about that kind of stuff, you can go over to the Plan B table.
Where can somebody in Hamilton go to get involved with Canadian Organic Growers Association?
You can either look up on the website, because we're a national-based organization. The website address is just hog.ca, very easy to remember, and there's information there on all the different local chapters. You can connect to their own websites.
What if you have no computer?
If you have no computer, you can write to Canadian Organic Growers or telephone them.
Yeah, why join, and then the objectives?
First reason to join is to know how to improve the soil so that you support the whole ecosystem. It encourages food grown without pesticides, gardens grown without pesticides. You'll be informed about organic food so that when you go to buy it, it does cost a little bit more, and you're not wasting your money on something that you don't know anything about. Because when you're informed, you know whether or not something is organic. You can ask questions of somebody that says they're organic. But unless it says certified organic and you haven't visited the farm, sometimes it's difficult to know.
Well, it's closer, so they're accountable for one.
That's right.
It's accountable food rather than if you go to a major market, you don't know where it's from Chile maybe.
That's right. And so even if it is certified organic and it's from 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 miles away, there's been all that fuel to transport it here. So that's hard to justify. If you can buy it locally and you can support your local farmers, it's hard to justify bringing something 6,000 miles.
Yeah.
Why is it bad to send buy crops that have been transported 6,000 miles? Well, okay, you're contributing to carbon dioxide in the air. You're contributing to the expense of gas.
Well, also, if the crops have been grown in large enough quantities that they're going to be moved in big truckloads, then probably they aren't being grown in a really... they're more likely to be grown in a monocrop situation. Even organic produce can be grown in a monocrop situation, which is not good if you have only one kind of plant growing in 15, 30 acres, 100 acres, then you're decreasing the biodiversity in that area. You're decreasing the chances of a farmer surviving if even one thing goes wrong in the season, if they get the wrong rain or they get rain at the wrong time or they get an infestation of some kind, they can wipe out a whole crop. It doesn't give the farmer any kind of security to have to grow one huge crop so that a large organization like a large corporation like Safeway will buy it. The only reason that Safeway will buy from them is because they can provide tons of the food in one go. It's a food security issue, because if a farmer goes under, what happens to the land? In our area, if a farmer goes under, the land gets developed and the farmland's gone.
And then we've lost that land forever for future crops that we're going
to have. Exactly. Some of the best farmland in southern Ontario is buried under housing in Burlington and Hamilton. It's the whole issue as well with the Aerotropolis is, do we really need more development up on some of the prime farmland in southern Ontario? People think that we have thousands and thousands of acres of farmland in Saskatchewan and Manitoba, but it's farmland that's only good for growing grass crops. You can't grow vegetable crops there.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, so we need rich soil to grow vegetables, and we need that security to grow our own vegetables, because it's pretty evident that the United States at some point will decide to close their borders, and we'll no longer be able to get that produce from them.
That's right.
And it's, if that doesn't happen, then we're going to have such an increase in cost because of fuel shortage that we won't be able to get it either. So Canadians are going to be up the creek because they won't be able to access a variety of foods that they're already used to.
So how does this group work with policies in conjunction with governments and forming policies to address some of the things you just talked about?
We're a not-for-profit organization, so we can't be a lobby group, which means we partner with organizations that can. We encourage the government with our information, and we stay on top of things like if we need to do releases on articles, that false articles particularly, that are kind of about organics or about the standard company that we seem to be running up against all the time is Crop Life, which is an organization. It's a lobby group for the pesticide industry, and they have all kinds of interesting ways to encourage people not to buy organic. And so our executive director seems to be constantly putting out press releases to counter what Crop Life is doing. They're a lobby group for the pesticide industry, so they're paid by the large organizations, the chemical organizations like Monsanto and Cargill, who make their living off of chemicals that they sell for farm use, pesticides, fertilizers, fuel. They have investments in all of those areas, so they are selling to the farmers for their inputs in the first place, and then they also have investments in companies like food organizations that buy from the farmers afterwards. So they just keep squeezing the farmers until they just can't afford to grow food anymore, because every time they get a little bit of increase in what people will pay for their food, those companies increase the amount for inputs, and they decrease the amount that they'll buy from the farmers.
Yeah, so they squeeze the local farmer out just for their own financial agenda. It has nothing to do with providing food.
Exactly. They have no...
It's a money market game for them, not an organic...
And the scariest thing is that this is not just happening to our farmers. This is happening around the world.
Yeah.
under pressure from the companies.
Yeah.
So they're multinational corporations. They're not responsible to any one country or anyone's laws, and they have no obligation to support food security in any of those countries. And if you talk to National Farmers Union here, they'll make it very clear that their contacts with Via Campesina, which is a more global sort of farmers union that supports the peasant farmers, it's happening everywhere. It's happening in southern nations. It's happening in Europe, even where there's farm subsidies available in Europe. It's still happening to all those countries. The farmers are being squeezed.
And this is one of the drawbacks to globalization and corporations that have used globalization for profit. And that's their objective, is more markets, control more markets. And
I like that saying that, when will we ever learn that we can't eat money? Because that's what it's about. Soon there won't be any incentive to grow food. The land will be worth money. The corporations that are controlling the agriculture will just see it as money, and nobody will see any value in growing food.
Well, look what they're doing to Percy Smyser. You know, the seed from Monsanto that blew onto his property and all the controls that they're trying to pursue. So what does an average working class person, city dweller in Hamilton do? What should they try and think about doing in their everyday life besides maybe you're going to go to work, you're going to come home, watch the mainstream media at 6 o'clock and go and buy their groceries at a Fortino's or Costco? Or
If that's where you're starting from, if buying at a grocery store is where you're starting from, your money talks. You go to your grocery store and you talk to the produce manager and you say, how come you don't have local organic food here? We know where there's local organic food being grown, and we will continue to support your store because this is our lifestyle. Only if you get local produce and only if you get organic produce in, we'll continue. And it's amazing. Places like Fortino's and Sobeys haven't gotten organic food because it's a conscious thing for their conscience. So they've gotten organic food because people have demanded it. And that's the money talks. People don't realize their money talks, their consumer dollars talk.
And that's what one person can do.
That's what one person can do. That's where they can start. And I would also very strongly say, one change at a time. You don't have to do it all overnight. You can make one change at a time. You can tell yourself, this week all I'm going to buy is organic apples. And you can decide, and especially this is a good time of year to decide that, because there's such a bounty of produce out there. This week all I'm going to buy is local, all I'm going to buy is organic apples. The rest of it, I'll still buy at the supermarket, but I'm going to look for local apples, I'm going to look for organic apples. And pretty soon, if you make those kind of changes a little bit at a time, you'll find that it's a regular habit in your lifestyle. And you'll look back at what you did 5 years ago and be completely astonished at the changes you've made.
That's great. Thanks a lot for that.
Just a note on the spinach scare and what happened and how people got sick. Before it became public knowledge, I knew a couple of people that are working people. You know, they're very busy. They haven't got time to pack a lunch from home. So they usually stop into one of those deli counters at a major supermarket like Fortino's, and they grab a pre-cut salad, thinking that they're doing their body a favor. Well, they came down with E. coli. And I won't suggest it was the same E. coli, but the point being is if you can't prepare your own lunch or snacks to take with you when you go on your busy day, try to make sure that when you do grab something for lunch, that you know that the source has washed the vegetable, washed their hands, or buy something that's been cooked, because this is probably in the salads and the deli bars all over the place and nobody knows it. It was a doctor that brought that to my attention, and it was a good guess. So this is a warning to everybody out there. Just because you think you're doing yourself a favor by grabbing a salad, not true. If it's not locally grown, organic, prepared by people who have washed their hands, you are not safe. And this is Rodrigo from Plan B Farms.
We can grow everything we need on the side of a building. And if not there, we can grow it on the balcony. And if not there, on the roof. Like, you could set up nets at the bottom of each balcony, like with just like a simple system, right, to catch any sort of fruit them.
So the reluctance and the concerns with property owners that say own apartment buildings, how could you alleviate their fears?
For their own, the people?
To make sure the building is protected. Well, the tenants wanted to do that.
They could get it like properly assessed, you know, and they could figure out that it really is not a problem. And I mean, if people are afraid, then we're in trouble. Fear is like the biggest thing.
And you have to get information, because that's the only reason you have the fear, is you don't understand. And we've got two generations of people that are just accustomed to, this is how we buy our food. We go to work every day in a car, we come home, we watch the television for 30 minutes, and this is our information on the world. And Saturdays we go to a Fortino's or a Super whatever, mm-hmm. and buy our bulk food or buy our food from the store wrapped in packages and plastics.
If we actually do that, every time we go into those stores, we're like, we're supporting our own demise.
We were talking earlier about how the body naturally wants this food from the ground.
And the humus.
Humus in
the soil, yeah.
And why that's much more important way to get our food grown rather than with pesticides controlling bugs, as we've been told.
Yeah, well, if the soil's dead, there is no micro anything. There is no life. There's no organization in the soil to get, you know, it isn't there in the first place, and then there's nothing there to get what's not there. It takes living organisms to go and pull nutrients out of the air and that's what we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
We pull apple off the tree. You know, little microorganisms underground, they pull the nutrients into their bodies. The roots then, as the microorganisms die near the roots take that, it's living underneath, and pulls it up the roots, you know? So plants are carnivores. You know, it's like, they do the work and then we eat them. It's like,
you're saying our bodies are designed to process food that way rather than buying vitamin supplements?
Oh yeah, you can't. If you don't have the proper intestinal flora in your body, then you don't have an ecosystem in your body to do that same job that I'm talking about, the soil. In the soil, it's there to pull out, and if we don't have what is in the soil in our tummy, then what comes, you know, down our gullet, we'll kind of just not really know too much of what to do. It's like...
And so we're not helping ourselves by buying a supplement to make up what we should be just getting in our natural diet.
Yeah.
It's counterproductive. It's just enforcing some other economy. It's not really enforcing the food economy.
Right. It's just money in the wrong hands.
And so when you were explaining about pesticides, I mean, the reasoning behind pesticides, it's a fuel-based product, number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people still have to understand.
Yeah.
Pesticides are there for profit. They are processed at an oil base. And they're there to control pests in our crops, which we actually need, in a way. Like, I've understood that there's been some local farmers around the Plan B farm that are a little upset because you are in an organic farm and have weeds on your farm.
Yeah. Oh, they're just misinformed, you know. It's a culture of ignorance.
If you could get through to those farmers, what would you say to them that might help them understand that growing organically is much better than their use of pesticides on their crops?
Well, I think the way they would understand is probably like by showing some, like, you know, financial return, some economic returns. I would offer whatever they're getting paid for land, I would offer them like double that, because I just say, look, in this row of whatever it is that I'm growing, we can finance a farm operation, whereas you and these thousands of acres that you do with this tractor, you know, are constantly needing to borrow money to stay afloat. You can't do it like this. You cannot. I'll say, look. Look at these half a dozen names. Well, you're, you know, like three quarters of your operation, of your profits go to them, just so you can like come around and depend on them again. It's like they're not offering a solution. They're not your friends.
They're not the farmer's friends. So that's why the modern day farmer is so trapped and so ignored, and why they protest. And the problem simply boils down to when you're allowing an outside interest to control how you grow your crops.
Yeah.
You're victimized. You're not going to get more profit. So how do you get past that, where the farmer says, well, I can't afford to grow this crop, or I can't afford, I have to go to these loaning institutions or corporations?
Well, they can afford it. You're just not explaining it to them the right way. Like, if you have to offer solutions with these people. So what you can do is slowly they can begin a transitional process, which takes a bit. And in the meantime, they can start growing. They can fall into a transitional category. And there is a certified transitional that you can do. And then you can start looking at some alternative grains, things that are a little more popular on a global scale that fetch you a bit of a better price. They're not as popular, you know, among the mainstream, but they will be bought up by others. And before you know it, you'll be certified and you'll have a far better product. Keeps longer, healthier. It's got a dozen obvious advantages that'll, you know, create some kind of viability.
Okay, so if the prediction of the peak oil profits, let's say, is true, and you have to think about living within 100 miles, that will directly affect all those farmers.
Okay. Well, there's already, like, it's already in place. There's, like, for example, in our region here, there will be soon, there will be a co-op that is organizing all local grain growers. And so through there, they'll organize buyers as they bring their product. As contracts are made for certain grains, you know, they'll need all different kinds of grains, and the buying will be done by in a more cooperative form. Problem is the farmer lives out in the middle of nowhere,
yeah,
and he's alone.
Yeah.
So if we do work together in this aloneness, you know, we can figure it out. That's the only way. Cooperatives have always been squashed as popular movements throughout the millennia, you know, the forces and the powers that hold the land for taxing purposes, you know, for exploitation, have always, like, frowned upon people organizing land and...
That is what you're saying. It's a constant battle to maintain your own independence and your own local ownership. And what they're basing that on is the money factor, the fear factor that, say, big buyers and corporation links force upon them. They've got to sell their crops, mm-hmm, number one.
Yeah.
Who are they going to sell them to? And you're saying that we're offering an alternative, a co-op locally.
Yeah.
How would a farmer, for example, if they were interested, how would they get in touch with a co-op close to Hamilton? Who would they contact? Where would they go?
To sell their product? Well, they would start talking, who would they talk to? What were they growing? Were they growing grains?
Let's talk vegetables and grains, or grains.
Veggies. Typically what you have to do is go to people you know.
So you're saying they're isolated, they don't know anybody, so...
Or if they know someone and they're growing, let's say they're growing a mixed garden.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they can, out of their mixed garden, they can pick one of each thing, throw it into a box and offer it to their neighbor that doesn't grow anything.
That's what one farmer told me. He just grows for his neighbors.
So you're offering, like, so many good things out of that right away. As well as you're offering a source of income, possibly, for them as well. Because now their services can be paid for, right, with cash. You keep the money in a very tighter circle. It's a bartering method. Intentional communities. It doesn't take very many people to, like, run, you know, an area successfully with no help from the outside world.
That's what we're going to get to. Now, a grain farmer is different.
Grain would be, yeah, if you want to grow one thing, then you have to work on a larger scale, work cooperatively, find out who's doing similar things, talk. Everything's in place to some degree. You know, there's a marketing board, I believe. I don't know where it's at, but there are alternative forms as well. There's people that are let's, you know, quote unquote, their own marketing board. You know,
yeah.
They've organized it. We know people that have done it, and they've already approached us about setting one up here in this region. So
you've got a problem personally and locally with the Plan B farm being organic and some local farmers feeling threatened by that. So they're going to come to you for information, but sooner or later, sooner or later, they're going to feel a pinch or look for an alternative. If they don't want to turn to you, if they're totally isolated, they don't know their neighbor, they're fighting with their neighbor, developers are approaching them constantly, offering them...
They're just going to go to a wholesaler of some kind. Go to Fennings. You know, Fennings will buy a bunch of food off them. They could sell to Pro. You know, they could sell to us. If they don't want to sell to us, they could sell to, you know, anybody that's in the movement of food. That's involved in food, they can go to them and they can ask. It's not hard.
Contact information for the Canadian Organic Grower on the web, it's real easy. It's www.cog.ca. If you don't have a computer, you can call the Canadian Organic Growers Association at 1-888, that's 888-375-7383. That's 375-7383. There is a Hamilton chapter. And our second interview was with Rodrigo from Plan B Farms. And they have outlets and farmers markets at the Westdale Market, and that's Saturday mornings, 8 till 1. That's at King Street and Bold and Highway Number 5. There's a store at Peter's Corners, Milton Farmers Market, Saturday morning, 7 to 12. If you want to find out more information about Plan B, you want to sign up for one of their food boxes, you can call them at 905-659-2572. That's 905-659-2572, Plan B Organic Foods. And if you want to go to a depot and see what they have, you can call the hemp store. That's at 143 Locke Street South at 905-525-6397. That's 525-6397. Our Tuesday morning host, Gordon Poller, with the morning slide. He's the fellow that usually takes care of that. I hope that gives you some kind of indication of what's going on locally. It's just the tip of the iceberg. Please think about being good to your body. Get into organic, locally grown food, help the farmers, and help the future generations.
Redefining Radio.
CFRW.